Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Robert Edwards, who wrote and directed One More Time, starring Christopher Walken and Amber Heard. Hi Robert.
How are you?
Great, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I just loved One More Time. It is such a delicate drama, and you did such a good job writing it and directing it. I just want to hear all about your process. Can you tell me how you came up with the idea?
I just got interested in the idea of an artist, especially a performer, whose public persona is really at odds with who they are in real life, and specifically what it's like to be in the orbit of somebody like that, what it could be in their family, and that naturally led me to the idea of a father-daughter story. But it's very different than the stuff that I normally do. You know, I usually do military, historical, political, espionage things. It was a real departure, and it was a great pleasure to do something that was outside of that, outside of my usual wheelhouse, and just kind of run with it.
And how did you get into the headspace of the daughter character, the Jude character played by Amber Heard? How did you get in her mindset? Because she has such a young voice and sort of a hipster on crack vibe, which I loved. How did you tap that?
Well, I say write what you know, but I don't know anything about that, to be honest. I didn't grow up in a show business family. I don't have any sisters. So it was really just pure imagination, just a matter of sort of trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody like that and trying to imagine what it would be like. And that was also part of the fun, was just kind of, you know, creating that character and writing the script without any commercial expectations for them. Just sort of letting it run, like, you know, letting the conversation go off on tangents and go on longer than they should and all kinds of things you're not supposed to do in screenwriting. It was very freeing to work that way, and I think that's maybe where Jude's character grew out of.
And so once you got on set, did you let the actors ad-lib, or was it all scripted, especially the dinner scenes where there's a lot of talking over each other and feels very real?
Right.
How did you get that effect?
There's a lot of ad-libbing, yeah. I mean, there's so much dialogue going on in there, and a lot of it's not even intended to be heard. It's just meant to be like texture and little pieces of it bubble up. So there was some key dialogue that we definitely wanted to make sure we had, but then some of the rest of it is very loose. And when we've got actors who are that talented and who understood their characters and script that well, it was easy to let them go and kind of run with it. Those scenes were some of the most challenging to do, but they were also the most rewarding. And we spent a lot of time planning how to shoot it, how to cover it, how to get the pieces we needed. And we didn't have a ton of time because it was low budget, independent movie. And then in the edit, it was difficult to stitch together all the overlapping dialogue. But I love that stuff. I'm a big Robert Altman fan, and I aspire to that kind of naturalism. We wanted to feel as much like real life as we can.
And how long did it take you? When did you start writing? Just to give everybody a sense of how long it takes to get a movie made. Like, when did you start the idea, and then you found yourself on set, like, what, how many years later was it that you got it made?
Well, it was a little bit unusual because I wrote it a number of years ago, maybe like 7 or 8 years ago. And as I said, just wrote it for myself because I was interested in this idea. And then I set it aside for quite a while, a couple of years. Didn't show it to anyone. And then my agent read it and thought, why aren't you making this? And I said, well, you know, I'd love to make it, so let's put it together. It actually came together pretty quickly once we started doing that. It took about 2 years to get the financing together, which is fast in indie world. And then we shot it in the spring on this time of year, late winter, spring of 2014. And it was in Tribeca last year, and now it's coming out. So,
wow, incredible. Had you pictured Christopher Walken in it when you wrote it many years ago?
Actually, I didn't write it with anyone in mind. My brain doesn't work that way, but he was the perfect guy because on the page, Paul can be kind of harsh. You know, he says and does some harsh things. And the wrong actor in that role, you know, he gets very alienating. But Christopher brings such charm and charisma. We've almost had the opposite problem. Once we were putting together early cuts of the movie, we showed it to friends and family for input. And they were all on Paul's side. You know, no matter what Paul did, they took his side and forgave him. They would say, yeah, but isn't he mean to his daughters? And doesn't he do these terrible things? Ah, no, he's charming. So we had to make some surgical adjustments to balance it out and make it more of a fair fight. But that's the occupational hazard of working with Christopher Walken.
Oh my gosh, he's just incredible. Everything he says is so captivating. You want to watch him whenever he's on screen. I didn't know he was a singer. I really hadn't seen him singing before. Did you? Is this something that you knew he could do, or you had thought, oh, he's, because it's definitely his voice. You didn't use like a double, another voiceover.
Actors. I knew that he was. You know, he grew up in musical theater and was Broadway when he was a boy, but he's mainly known for dancing. But I knew he could sing, and I'd seen him in Pennies from Heaven a long time ago and that sort of thing. So I knew he could do it. Amber, when I met her, she said to me that she grew up in a very musical family and was steeped in the blues. She grew up in Texas, but had never sung herself, not even in the shower. It's pretty hard to believe.
Wow.
But that she was willing to take lessons and give it a chance, and you know, I was willing to take a risk. And it was so clear to me that she understood the character and would be great in the part that I said, sure, let's do it. And then she just worked like a dog, did take music, vocal lessons with piano and guitar and bass. And that's really bold, you know, for somebody who's never sung in public, get up in front of a room full of people with the cameras rolling and do that. Is very, very great.
Well, she just embodies that character. I've completely just got lost in her acting. I thought she was so great in it, and I think it's my favorite thing I've ever seen her in. She's really a gifted actress. What was it like, working with the two of them? Because, you know, he's obviously so seasoned, and she's just up and coming. Did Walken advise her, or were they just like, oh, they're just buddies? Or is it strange to have a generational gap like that? I'm just curious how that worked out.
Yeah, well, the first time that they met, I had met with them separately, and they both signed on to the project, and the three of us got together to read through the script. And they just hit it off right away. They had kind of a natural chemistry, kind of a father-daughter thing right from the beginning. And Amber's, I think she was 28 then. You know, she really is kind of wise beyond her years. She seems much more worldly than your average 28-year-old. And so they really hit it off. And in the book, I think she is very well aware that Hollywood wants to pigeonhole somebody like her because of the way she looks. They want her to be a femme fatale or the girlfriend or, you know, the hot chick. She's capable of so much more, and I think she sought out this movie because it was a chance for her to do that, to show what she can do and do different things. And I'm glad the world will get a chance to see that.
Yeah, that's it. Very interesting, because you don't think about that a lot as far as pigeonholing actresses, hoping that doesn't happen as much nowadays with all the different formats and TV shows and so many different ways to create content. Hopefully it's not. It's getting less and less like that. But just to talk a little bit more about the writing. So when you wrote the script, several years later, you start to get financing. Do you go back and do rewrites? Do the actors give you ideas? Or what's it like to go from writer to director? Are you kind of always doing both?
Yeah, there's a certain amount of rewriting. Just, you know, if you don't work on something for a while, you can go back to it with some fresh eyes and new perspective and improve it. Then there's changes that are made for practical reasons, logistical reasons, location, so forth. And the actors almost always bring ideas, which is what you want. You hire talented people, and you want to draw on their ideas and their creativity. So that happens sometimes in the rewriting and also on set. Some improv and ad-libbing. And then it's still evolving even in the edit. You know, the scenes move around and change, the context changes. You don't always get what you expect when you shoot, and you get things you didn't expect. You get surprises. And so the trick is keeping your mind open to those unexpected things and finding ways to incorporate them to make the story better.
Which one do you prefer, writing or directing?
Writing, it couldn't be less alike, you know. Writing is very solitary and civilized, and I can come home for lunch. And directing is like being strapped to a rocket. So much going on, it's so fast, and it's exciting, but it's exhausting. So it's nice to have the variety. And then editing is different. Again, editing is a little bit more like writing, but it's more collaborative because you generally work with an editor, a couple other folks. And so to have those three distinct phases, writing, directing, and editing, and kind of alternate them is a nice pattern.
Cool. Well, how did you break into filmmaking? How did you become a filmmaker?
Well, it's kind of a backwards, accidental way. I came from this military family in the Army, and then I got out of the service and bounced around a little bit. Landed in film school at Stanford, which is a documentary-only program. So I became a documentary filmmaker and was doing that. Met my wife, Fern Pearlstein, who's also a documentary filmmaker, who actually has a feature documentary coming out at Tribeca in 2 weeks.
Oh, great.
On the 18th. We began working together, and then I had an idea for a narrative film, and so I wrote it, and I thought we would do it the way we'd always done our docs. She'd shoot it on Super 16 with a camera. We'd cut it on Final Cut 1.0, which we were using at the time. But the script got in the hands of some folks in L.A., and it won a screenwriting competition, and all of a sudden I was a screenwriter for hire, which was completely accidental and not something I'd ever planned to do. But, from the very beginning, I always wanted to make my own film. So the chance to do that is one that I don't take lightly. I'm always very grateful when I have that opportunity.
Wow, that is so exciting. I bet you could use your military training just a lot to come up with ideas, because what a different world. And
making a movie is very much like a military operation. It's from a total chaos. There's a million departments, all little fiefdoms going off in their own way, and you as the director, like military commander, are trying to corral all these disparate elements and put out all the fires that are going on, try to sort of herd it in the general direction of your objective.
And you can keep your cool. What was your rank? What was your title when you were in the military?
Well, I was a captain when I got out. I'd been an infantry officer in Germany, and I was an intelligence officer in Saudi Arabia and Iraq during the first Gulf War.
That's so cool. And I see on your IMDb page that you went to high school with Barack Obama. Were you guys buddies? I'm sorry, I just had to add that question.
No, I wish. He was a couple years older than me, so I don't think he deigned to hang out with lowly freshmen. But, he's certainly far and away the most famous graduate of that school.
That is so cool. How many great stories you have. It's incredible. Are you working on something new? What's your next project?
I am, actually. Very different from this one. It's more back in the political, historical world. It's called A Bomb in My Garden.
Oh, wow.
It's based on a memoir of the chief scientist in Saddam Hussein's uranium enrichment program.
I love it.
The guy who under duress, spent about 20 years building a centrifuge to enrich uranium to weapons grade and had almost succeeded. They built it. They almost succeeded in having the bomb before the 91 war. And then after that, he buried the components for the centrifuge in his backyard in Baghdad. Kept them there for 12 years until the second invasion in 2003. And then he dug them up, took them to the U.S. authorities and said, hey, look, I know you guys want to throw me in prison, but I have this and I want to give it to you, but you have to get my family out of Iraq. This is the story of his relationship with the American journalist who brokered his escape from Iraq.
That is so incredible. Are you going to use the same title as the book?
The Bomb in My Garden.
The Bomb in My Garden.
It's a great story. Mario Beatty, the scientist and the journalist, name is Kirk Pitcher. they co-wrote it, and it should have been front page news when it happened, but it's just too politically fraught. And so now, 12 years later, maybe the time has come for that story to be told.
Well, we were just so obsessed with weapons of mass destruction, nobody could, I guess, focus on that. But you're right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It was so interesting to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you about that next project, too. That sounds fascinating. What is the timeline on that? Are you just starting writing, or?
No, I wrote it 10 years ago. I was hired to write it.
Oh, okay.
They owned the story at the time. And then there was a lot of interest. People liked it, but it was, like I say, it was just too fraught in 2006 to try to make that movie. So we're now in the process of setting it up independently and hope to shoot it in the new year.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. It was so great talking to you, and I can't wait to talk again. And congratulations on the film.
Thank you. My pleasure. I really appreciate your interest, and I enjoyed speaking with you.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye now.